Good Sunday morning. Now, my exclusive sit-down interview with President Trump. The president talks tough on trade, slams the Democrats over immigration and their push to abolish ICE. And he hints at who he may nominate to be the next Supreme Court justice. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. I'm Maria Bartiromo. Welcome to Sunday Morning Futures. Justice Anthony Kennedy announces his retirement, sparking a fierce political battle on Capitol Hill and across the country about his replacement. President Trump now getting another historic opportunity to reshape the high court and affect key issues, including Roe versus Wade. We'll hear what the president has to say about Kennedy's legacy and what kind of judge he plans to nominate on July 9th. ICE is now at the center of the fight over immigration as Democrats ramp up their calls to get rid of the controversial agency. Why the president believes that will help Republicans win in the midterms if the left makes it a campaign issue. And as trade tensions escalate with China and Europe, I ask the president how he plans to push back on unfair trade practice and keep Beijing from stealing American innovation. All that right now and a lot more in my exclusive interview with President Trump as we look ahead on Sunday Morning Futures. After an incredibly busy week in our nation's capital and for the country, I sat down for an exclusive interview with President Trump. The conversation covering everything from his upcoming Supreme Court pick to the debate over tariffs and phase two of his plan for the economy. Take a listen. Mr. President, thanks so much for sitting down with me.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to start right with the breaking news of the week, and that is Justice Anthony Kennedy announcing his retirement. Is Justice Kennedy the model of the person you would put on the Supreme Court now?
Maybe so. He's a great gentleman. He's a very high quality person. You know, I got a call, Maria, that somebody would like to see me. And they were sort of like acting anonymous. I said, wait a minute, I'm the president of the United States. How could I see somebody? I don't know who it is. Anyway, I figured it out. And it was a very elegant moment. It was a beautiful moment. He presented me with a letter. And it really is a retirement of a great gentleman. He's a fine, fine gentleman and really ended up being a little more neutral than a lot of people would have preferred, but a lot of people preferred that he was. And we're going to pick somebody who's outstanding. And I said, I'll do it in your honor, but we're going to pick somebody who's outstanding. And I was very honored that he did this during my term, which means he had confidence in me to do the right thing.
Are you going to ask your nominees beforehand how they might vote on Roe versus Wade?
Well, that's a big one, and probably not. They're all saying, don't do that, you don't do that, you shouldn't do that, but I'm putting conservative people on, and I'm very proud of Neil Gorsuch. He has been outstanding. His opinions are, you know, is so well written, so brilliant, and I'm going to try and do something like that, but I don't think I'm going to be so specific in the questions I'll be answering, and I'm actually told that I shouldn't be.
Because on the campaign trail, you said you would leave it to the states.
Well, maybe someday it will be to the states. You never know how that's going to turn out. That's a very complex question. The Roe v. Wade is probably the one that people are talking about in terms of having an effect. But we'll see what happens. But it could very well end up with states at some point.
And do you think you'll be able to get your nominee in place before the midterm elections?
I think it's going to go very quickly. I think we're going to have a lot of support. I think we're going to have support from Democrats, frankly. I think if it's the right person, I'm going to pick the right person. I'm going to pick somebody that's outstanding. And everybody on that list is outstanding, but I'm going to pick somebody who's outstanding. And I think, yes, I think we will go very quickly. I actually believe that. A lot of people think it's going to be a very... Look, it's probably going to be vicious because the other side, all they can do is obstruct and resist. You know, the whole thing is resist. But, and maybe someday we'll be able to get along with the other side. I don't know. But right now it's only resist. That's all they want to do is stop things from happening. So they're going to try very hard. But I think it's going to go actually very quickly if I pick the right person.
Mr. President, here we are 6 months after you signed into law a historic tax reform package, first time in 30 years. Has the effect been what you expected?
Well, I think there's a double effect. The tax cuts have been incredible, and reform, don't forget, but tax cuts have been incredible.
And the rollback in regulations.
But I think the big thing, I actually think maybe at least initially speaking, because it's been earlier, it took place quicker, The regulation rollback has been the biggest ever in the history of our country. No president, even during full terms, has cut back anywhere near what I've done. And we have more to do. Now, we're going to have regulation. We're going to have clean water. We're going to have, you know, clean air. We're going to have the cleanest water, cleanest air. But we are, we have more regulation cutting to do. But so, I think that may have had a bigger impact to this point. I think ultimately the tax cuts, as they kick in, and they're kicking in, you see the kind of hundreds of billions of dollars brought back into the country already. I think ultimately that's going to be something really special, and you're seeing the result right now.
I agree with you, because under President Obama, the Federal Registry pages were up to 97,000 pages or something like
that. Honestly, if the Democrats would have won the election, first of all, you would have had a lot different. If you look at the last four decisions in the Supreme Court at 5-4, they would have all been reversed. The union decision was a massive decision. The, you know, you can look at any one of those four. They were all so big, so important. And they would have been exactly reversed. So many. That's why I've always heard that as president, I mean, obviously, outside of war and peace, the biggest decision you can make is the selection of a Supreme Court justice. And I see it. And you see it so vividly over the last 2 days because, I mean, those decisions would have all gone the other way.
And your legacy on the conservative party, on the GOP, is going to be massive, obviously, with this very consequential decision making that you need to do. Let me ask you about what's next, because we've seen the impact to the economy. What do you want to see happen now? Does the economy need even more stimulus? Are you looking for a phase two tax
plan? We're doing a phase two. We'll be doing it probably in October, maybe a little sooner than that. And it'll be more of a middle class. We did a lot for the middle class, but this will be even more aimed at the middle class. One of the things we're thinking about is bringing the 21% down to 20, and then for the most part, the rest of it would go right to the middle class. It's a great stimulus. And one of the things I'm doing that you've been reporting on, although I'm not sure that you're a believer, but I think you're getting there. Look what's happening with the steel companies. They're expanding, they're going wild. And we need steel, and we need aluminum. And we need solar panels. So, you know, the same thing with solar panels. It was like a dead business. And we did a 30% tariff because they were dumping all over the place. And washing machines doesn't sound very glamorous. It's actually a very big business. But if you look at what's happened to steel and aluminum, we practically built a new industry in a period of 4 or 5 months. It's incredible what's happening. But the big thing that I'm focused on now is trade. I have to straighten out trade deals. Maria, we have trade deals, as an example, with China. We don't even have a trade deal with China. We don't have a deal. Nobody bothered to make a deal. And they'll charge 25% for a car, and we charge 2.5%, and you've used those numbers on your show, so I don't want to bore people. But we have we have the worst trade deals in the world. We lose money with everybody. You know, when somebody walks in and says, how much do we lose with this country? We lose with everybody. We're going to make it reciprocal. We're going to make them fair. And I will tell you that you don't know about this, but every country is calling every day saying, let's make a deal, let's make a deal. It's going to all work out.
And the markets feel like they're trusting you at this point.
I think they trust me, and the farmers trust me.
They do.
Don't forget, the farmers, and I want all the farmers. I want that whole, you look at a map, it's got a little blue on the outside, everything else is red, and it's beautiful color red. But I have to say that if you look at what's happened with farms, over 15 years, it's just a steady decline. Over the last I've been here a year and a half. Over the last 5 years, they've been very bad years for farms and farmers. I said, we have to change that. And one of the reasons is because they have barriers. These aren't even economic barriers, although in Canada's case, 275% tariff for dairy. That's not fair.
So when would you expect your most significant deal?
Well, I already pretty much finished the deal with South Korea. It was a terrible deal. Remember, it was going to produce 200,000 jobs, and they were right. For South Korea, not for us. That was a Hillary Clinton special. That's done. NAFTA, I could sign it tomorrow, but I'm not happy with it. I want to make it more fair, okay?
You can't do NAFTA before the midterms.
I want to wait till after the election. You're going to have an election. It's going to be very interesting. I have a feeling he's going to be fine. And the reason is because if they're not fine, I'm going to tax their cars coming into America. And that's the big one. You know, the cars are the big one. We can talk steel, we can talk everything. The big thing is the cars.
A major lobbying group for the auto industry says that your administration has threatened 25% tariff on all imported vehicles will amount to $45 billion in taxes on consumers and wipe out any benefits of the tax cut plan for low and middle income Americans.
Well, actually, it's 20%. Tell them to get their numbers right. Look, Maria, what's going to really happen? There's going to be no tax. You know why? They're going to build their cars in America. They're going to make them here. We bring in millions and millions of cars a year. We charge 2.5%. Some of these countries don't even take our cars. If we want to send General Motors or any of our companies to some of these countries, they won't take our cars. They have a barrier. They put up a barrier, non-monetary barrier. They call it non-monetary tariff. And the barrier is so strong, you can't sell a car. If you do sell a car, it's 10%, 15%, 25%. And we get 2.5% and nobody pays it.
Yeah. But do you agree, though, that a tariff is a sales tax? I mean, even Steve Forbes was on my show last week. He said, look, for every job you're creating in the aluminum and steel industry, you're losing 15 in the industries that import aluminum and steel. Is it a sales tax?
First of all, I love free trade. You know, when I was at the G7, I said, I have an idea. Everybody, I'll guarantee you, we'll do it immediately. Nobody pay any more tax. Everybody take down your barriers. No barriers, no tax. Everybody, are you all set? No more tax. Canada, you're not going to get 275% for your dairy, and you're going to take down all your barriers. We're going to take down all our barriers. We're going to take down all our taxes, right? You know what happened? Everybody said, can we get onto another subject? Because America, our country, lost last year $817 billion in terms of deficit. We had a trade deficit, Maria, of $817 billion, with a B, dollars, last year. Before that, it was 800. This has been going on for years. We have rebuilt China. I have a great relationship with China, great relationship with President Xi. I have tremendous respect for him. But I said, we have to straighten this out. We can't continue to do this.
Well, you decided to not go forward with the investment restrictions on China.
No,
are you going back down on the tariffs against China?
No. Look, we're in for, you know, we put in $250 billion worth of product. The tariffs are, in fact, it could go up to 500, frankly, if we don't make a deal. And they want to make a deal. I will tell you, China wants to make a deal. And so do I, but it's got to be a fair deal for this country. One of the hard things is our presidents and our business leaders, they were missing in action. Not so much the business leaders. You know, some business leaders benefit by allowing this stuff to go on. That's the problem. They benefit. They're more for their business than they are for the United States. I had a great company, the head of a great company, come up to me. He's very seriously affected by the tariffs. He said, Mr. President, it's not good for me right now. Ultimately, it is. But you're doing the right thing on tariffs.
Well, you're doing the right thing on pushing back on China as well. Most people understand that they've been stealing from us for decades.
Right.
But you didn't go forward with this ban on Chinese nationals acquiring a 25% stake in American companies that are in this China 2025. Yeah. But now people want to know, how are you going to protect American innovation, technology, the crown jewels?
So we're doing it through different things. But what I didn't like is pinpointing China, because it's not fair. Okay. I get along with China. I like the president. He's president for life. We can call him the king, right? But I like the president. I didn't like pinpointing China. I don't think it's fair, because they're not the only ones. Now, they're bigger and stronger, and frankly, they do it more, and they're probably a bigger violator. But it's other countries, too. And I want it to go worldwide. Mm-hmm. And we are doing that. So actually, what I'm doing is a very similar thing, but I want it to pertain to everybody. So you mean China can't do it, but other countries can. Now, I know China, and I know how smart they are. They'll send their people into other countries and do it through other countries. And they'll just go through an extra process.
That's why you had to do it on everybody, our friends.
I want everybody to do it. Same thing with the tariffs on the steel. If we don't have it on everybody, then what happens is they put it through these other countries that don't have it, and you're wasting a lot of time.
Welcome back. We continue now with my exclusive sit down with President Trump. We talked about tariffs and the trade showdown with our European allies, among others. Also, how we are combating the threat of Beijing stealing American technology and innovation. More now on my exclusive interview.
If we're trying to stop China from stealing from us, which we know is happening, and that happens,
true.
Business knows it across the board.
By the way, $300 billion a year, they say it's a lot of money.
Exactly. Would it be better to actually have our allies together to go against China instead of pushing back on our allies,
Because our allies, the European Union is possibly as bad as China, just smaller. Okay? It's terrible what they do to us. European Union, take a look at the car situation. They send the Mercedes in. We can't send our cars in. Look what they do to our farmers. They don't want our farm products. Now, in all fairness, they have their farmers, so they want to protect their farmers. But we don't protect ours, and they protect theirs. The European Union last year made, if you look at a trade surplus, which I think is a very important thing, $151 billion dollars. Now, we also love the European Union. You know, I was there many, many years ago, meaning my parents were born in the European Union, right?
You love
before
Europe.
There was a no. And I love those countries,
right.
Germany and all of the countries, Scotland, you know, you have Scotland. They're still in there. They're still hanging in there, right? We'll see what happens with Brexit.
Right.
But they treat us very badly. They treat us very unfairly.
I know. No, you've said
Maria,
that.
They
and
don't
it
take
has
up
resonated.
Product. Excuse me,
people,
I can say it better
that.
In a different way. They made last year $151 billion in trade surplus.
In other words,
we had a deficit with the European Union. On top of that, we spend a fortune on NATO to protect them.
Welcome back. More now with my exclusive interview with President Trump. The president turning his attention to Harley Davidson while talking about tariffs. He also spoke about the role immigration will play in the upcoming midterm elections and how some Democrats and their call to abolish ICE could ultimately be a downfall.
I saw you in Wisconsin yesterday, and you called out Harley Davidson, and you've been calling out Harley Davidson.
I don't like
Harley
that they're
Davidson.
Leaving. But they're
look,
not leaving.
Harley Davidson is saying we're going to send some production overseas because we
like
can't
it.
Deal with the retaliatory tariffs out of Europe, and that's because of our tariffs.
Maria.
Should you be calling out specific companies? You're the president.
Yes, I should. Look, I devoted a lot of time to Harley Davidson. I treated him good. I guarantee you, everybody that ever bought a Harley Davidson voted for Trump. I don't know if you know that. I would have, they call them bikers for Trump.
And there's pride
there's
it's built in America. I know that.
And they're very unhappy about it. They are very unhappy. Now, we just proposed this a few days ago. They made this deal at the beginning of the year, long before they ever heard of the word tariff. They made this deal at the beginning of the year. And I don't think they should do it. I think that Harley is an American bike, it's an American motorcycle, and they should build them in this country. They shouldn't play cute. And I had them for lunch 6 months ago.
I remember.
And they were telling me in India they charge 100%.
You said that.
You
and I've been talking
truth?
About that.
I think
the
I taught them more about tariffs than I could ever learn. I was saying, let me ask you a question. How much do you pay in India? 100%. Oh, really? Do you do much business? No. Why? Because the tariffs are too high. I'm the one telling them. I said, that's a shame. I got them to reduce the tariffs in India because I used that as an example. All of a sudden, Harley leaves. Everyone else is coming in.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the few that's, everyone else is coming in. I have a feeling that maybe Harley, I think they're going to take a big hit. I just think it's a great American product, and our people have more pride than they used to have. I really believe that Harley's going to take, the people that are buying Harley Davidson, you know, they don't want it built in another country.
And that's true.
No, they don't want it. I know those people.
Yeah.
Those are my voters.
No, they have pride that their bike is built in America. There's no doubt about it.
Those are my voters. They don't want Harley Davidson getting cute to make $2 more.
All of these issues are going to be issues in the midterms, including immigration. Is immigration and these pictures of separated families going to hurt the Republicans come November?
First of all, I signed an executive order last week saying I don't want families broken up. Nobody else did
that. Did our First Lady, Melania, encourage you to do that?
She's been there, and she's been out to the border twice.
What has she told you about that?
I'll tell you, she came home and told me a couple of things. She said it's a very sad situation, very, very sad. She was really impressed with Border Patrol, how professional they were. She came and said that. And she was really saddened by the plight of people. I mean, you know, she has a very big heart. She went there, this is the second time in a week and a half. She feels it. But she was so strong on how professional the Border Patrol, the agents, the law enforcement, is along the border. She couldn't believe it.
Meanwhile,
and she saw the danger. She saw the danger. You look at it, it just looks like danger. In the meantime, we have to have strong border protection. We have to have strong borders. We don't want crime. The Democrats want to have no borders. They want to get rid of ICE. You
well,
know, ICE is
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
The 28-year-old socialist that just beat out Joe Crowley says abolish ICE and get this. More Democrats are getting in line with that. Kirsten Gillibrand today saying we need to abolish ICE.
Well, I hope they keep thinking about it because they're going to get beaten so badly. Do you know, ICE, these are the guys that go in and take MS-13 and they take them out because they're much tougher than MS-13, like by a factor of 10. And these are the ones, you get rid of ICE, you're going to have a country that you're going to be afraid to walk out of your house. I love that issue if they're going to actually do that. They're seriously talking about that because you are going to have a country that's crime-ridden. The Border Patrol agents, ICE, these people are incredible. They were the ones, actually, when Melania went down, she was talking about the Border Patrol agents, not the ICE, because she doesn't see. But ICE, Border Patrol, these are incredible patriots. the job they have is so dangerous.
It is.
You know Long Island very well,
well,
right?
Well, catch and release. I mean,
well, how about Long Island?
Right.
They go into Long Island. They actually liberate towns. They liberate towns. Mm. These are incredible people. If the Democrats go left, okay, if they do that, like I always say, Maxine Waters is, you know, Maxine Waters is their new leader. Between Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and getting rid of ICE and having open borders, and the biggest thing, you have open borders, all it's going to do is lead to massive, massive crime. That's going to be their platform, open borders, which equals crime. I think they'll never win another election, so I'm actually quite happy about it.
Welcome back. In my exclusive interview with President Trump, we touched on the ongoing negotiations with North Korea over its nuclear program, rising oil prices, and how the president can bring the country together as the political rhetoric grows more extreme. Take a look.
Let me ask you real quick on North Korea and Iran, because how was the summit? Can you give us any anecdotes? I mean,
okay.
Now we're supposed to find out. I've spoken with some military men of my own, and they told me that North Korea needs to tell us exactly where their facilities are so that we can inspect them within the next couple of weeks.
Well,
if we don't find out in the next couple of weeks, we know they're not serious about this. What are you going to do?
Oh, I think they're very serious about it. I think they want to do. We had a very good chemistry. You know, we had a lot of points. We won a lot of different points. I don't have to go over, but denuclearization, getting the remains back from great heroes, great people.
But are we
so many different things?
Legitimizing
killers. By the way,
killers.
Excuse me, getting the hostages back before I even went. Getting
that was incredible. Thank you for doing that, Mr. President.
But think of this. What did I do, really, when you think of it? I went there. So the papers say he went. Oh, meaning I went to Singapore. So we had a meeting. We didn't do anything. Now, we're saving a lot of money by not doing it. I said, let's not do I call them the war games, okay? They're dropping bombs all over the place every 6 months. It's unbelievably expensive to do that. The planes fly in from Guam, these massive, you know, bombers, and all of they're flying in from bomb going back from Guam. It's crazy. So, we gave nothing. What we are going to give is good things in the future. And by the way, I really believe North Korea has a tremendous future. I got along really well with Chairman Kim. We had a great chemistry. We really had Chairman
Kim. But do we believe him, Mr. President?
I made a deal with him. I shook hands with him. I really believe he means it. Now,
okay.
Is it possible? Have I been in deals? Have you been in things where people didn't work out? It's possible.
Well, you made a bold decision on Iran. I mean, this was incredible.
In Iran, look what's happening in Iran.
Look what's happening now, the strikes and the protests, the people
Iran's
want economic
place.
Freedom.
Iran's so, a different place.
Is it true that
Iran's no longer thinking about the Mediterranean and going through, and they're thinking about themselves. They're having riots all over
Are
Iran.
They enriching their uranium, like the reports say?
If they do, they're going to have a very big problem.
Let me ask you about the secondary sanctions. Will you sanction European companies if they do business with Iran?
Yeah, of course. That's what we're doing. Mm. Absolutely.
And in terms of oil prices, you've talked about oil prices a lot. Do you think somebody's manipulating this market above $70
now? 100%. OPEC is, and they better stop it, because we're protecting those countries, many of those countries. OPEC is manipulating, and you know, they allowed less than we thought last week. They have to put out another 2 million barrels, in my opinion. Because we don't want that happening. Don't forget, the one negative to the Iran deal is you're going to lose a lot of oil, and they got to make up for it. And who's their big enemy? Iran. Okay? You think of it. Iran's their big. So they're going to have to do it. And I have a very good relationship with the king and with the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and the others around. And they're going to have to put out more oil.
Any comments on Peter Strzok and these testimonies that we're seeing, Rod Rosenstein, Christopher Wray? Why don't you just direct your subordinates to get those documents over to Congress? Are you going to do it?
So I have this country running like a top. Mike Pompeo is doing great. We really have a great group of people. The one thing I want to stay uninvolved in, at least for now, I may get involved.
Okay.
But I've been told by so many people, don't get involved. You know,
Congress
other people got
documents.
Involved, and it's not good. And they'll get the documents, and it's getting, and they're getting them, and they're great people. I didn't like the scene the other day where everybody's screaming at each other. You know, I don't like that, because it's bad for the country. You know, if Russia is, in fact, looking to sow discord or chaos, they've got to be saying, this is the greatest thing we've ever done. Okay? Now, there's no collusion with me. There's no Russia with me. There's no nothing. It's honestly a disgrace. Mm. But I purposely said, I'm not getting involved. Let it just go. You know, they found nothing. Nobody has found anything.
I know.
You know why?
Are you going to talk about...
And by the way, this is the most transparent thing ever done with the White House. I think I gave them 1,400,000 documents. And I told my lawyers, don't even read them. There's no Russia mention or anything like that. They have nothing. I don't like to see that kind of fighting. It's terrible.
Are you
it's bad for both sides.
Are you going to mention the meddling when you meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin July 16th?
I'd like to see some answers as to why we didn't take the server, why the FBI didn't take the server from the DNC.
Well, the DNC wanted to give it to a private company.
No, can you believe it?
They didn't want to give it to the FBI.
Can you believe it? No. Why didn't the FBI take it? Look what they did to other people. Why didn't they take it? How can the DNC say, get out of here? They threw them out of the office.
Yeah. Well, the same people running both investigations. I mean, that's why.
No, but by the way,
question.
Did you ever see a difference in two investigations?
It and was the a difference huge difference,
is,
Mr.
This
President.
One here did nothing wrong. There was no collusion, no nothing. The other one, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but you go back one. How about the emails deleting 33,000 emails?
Right.
Just to put it, we don't even have to talk about the uranium and all the different things. Just tell me, you get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena from the United States Congress, right? People go to jail for doing it on a civil case. They delete 33,000 emails.
And some of them got immunity.
Got immunity
that.
Before the FBI even walked
That's
in. They're
right.
walking in and saying, you have a... And by the way, keep your laptops. And didn't they even say destroy your laptops or something? In a week, you could destroy your laptop?
Bleach or something. Final question, Mr. President. Here we see your lovely press secretary, Sarah Sanders, getting asked to leave a restaurant. We see Peter Fonda, Robert De Niro having Trump syndrome. They're going crazy. All of this vitriol in this country. As the commander-in-chief, as the president of this great country, what can you do to bring us together?
Well, some of them do it for publicity. I hate to say it. Some of them do it for publicity. Now, the Hen restaurant was terrible with Sarah. I thought it was terrible.
It's all terrible.
I think some of the things that are said are terrible. And, you know, it's our people are so incredible. You know, there's probably never been a base in the history of politics in this country like my base. I hope the other side realizes that they better just take it easy. They better just take it easy. Because some of the language used, some of the words used, some of the radical ideas, I really think they're very bad for the country. I think they're actually very dangerous for the country.
All
they
the while, very you're dangerous. Creating economic growth and you're creating job opportunities.
So, if you look at black unemployment, the best in history, Hispanic unemployment, the best in history, lowest in the history of our country. Women, 64, 65 years, the best in 65 years. Within 2 weeks, it should be the best in history. Women, unemployment, meaning it's low, so low, so beautiful. Our unemployment picture overall generally is almost the best in history. Our numbers are among, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next quarter, but, you know, I don't know if you saw, but the Atlanta Fed predicted 4.8. I don't know
of
if it's going to be 4.
Of course I saw.
4.8. I actually saw it on your show, so I guess you probably
Thank
saw.
You.
Maybe you weren't watching. Maybe somebody
I was
else
on
wrote.
The show.
But the Atlanta Fed predicted 4.6, and then they upped it to 4.8.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. But each point is $3 trillion and 10 million jobs. And you know that when I originally took over, it was 1.2. It was heading down because they would have put more restrictions. We talked about the regulations and restrictions. They would have put more regulations on. They wouldn't have done any tax cuts. For the tax cuts, we didn't get one Democrat vote. Now, add this to it. Part of their platform, one other thing they want to do, they want to raise the taxes. They want to end the tax cuts, take the money back, and they want to raise the taxes. I don't think that's a very good formula for the country, number one, most importantly. It's also not a good formula to get elected.
And you think this is going to be the key that will drive voters in the November election?
Well, I think the tax cuts are going to be important. I think the regulations are going to be important. I think
You're
the
feeling
success,
good about the midterms?
Honestly, I feel actually good. The only thing I feel bad about is that I guess 93% of the time, whoever wins the presidency tends to do not so good in the midterms. Other than that, we have, this may be, hey, look, you do this for a living and nobody does it better. This may be the greatest economy we've ever had. So if it's all about the economy, I think we should do phenomenally. I think we're going to do great. I think we're going to do great in the Senate. You know, I visited 3 states in the last 6 days. I think every one of those people have an awfully good chance of winning. I think we're going to do great in the Senate, and I think we're going to do absolutely fine in the House.
I think you love going back to the campaign rallies.
I do like it.
energizing the crowd.
I love those people. Yeah. I just love the people of this country. They are great.
Mr. President, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Maria.
Appreciate it.